Welcome to the best biker bar in the investment world. You've entered the danger zone. That's right. It's the danger zone, although it's the best biker bar because today you're going to get the other side of it. The danger zone is where we get the latest take from the experts at New Constructs, which is a unique research firm that has stock research that you really want to learn about because it's very different. It digs in at the footnotes level and works its way up. It brings together discounted cash flow analysis and forensic accounting. And it does this ultimately to find out where the numbers might be misleading. And then it puts all that stuff into a scale. Normally, we're talking about the dangerous end of the scale, because if something is misleading and it's going to lead you down the primrose path, that's dangerous. But after last week, where we talked about a dangerous stock, David Trainer, the founder and president at New Constructs, promised he'd be back with the flip side. So this week, it's not the baddest biker bar in the investment world. It's the best one because you're going to get an idea that you might want to actually lean into. If you want to lean into New Constructs research, go to newconstructs.com. David Trainer, great to chat with you again.
It's great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
So who's in the attractive zone?
Halliburton.
You are so good looking.
It's Halliburton, ticker symbol H-A-L. And what this is about, before I get to actually question, is that last week we were talking about stocks. Specifically, we were talking about Caesars, where the estimates were too high and you expected an earnings miss. So the flip side of that is estimates are too low and you expect an earnings beat. So help us understand why Halliburton is undervalued and good looking and why it's misleading to our favor.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to also point out, Chuck, that more than half of the companies in the S&P 500 have understated earnings. And 30% of the S&P 500's earnings are understated by more than 10%. So people looking for a bullish signal out there, I'd say that's a good one for sure. With respect to Halliburton, what we see here is mostly unusual expenses. First of all, there's unusual other expenses in the trailing 12 months that comes out to around $200 million. Another $200 million in impairment charges, $170 million in severance costs, and then another $120 million in SAP S4 upgrade expenses, $35 million in cybersecurity, $8 million loss on blue chip swap transactions. So a bunch of stuff that we dug up to recognize as one time. These are things I got to do once. So they're not really part of the ongoing profitability of the business. When these things go away, earnings will pop back up.
What this means is that when we normally are talking about a stock giving you a picture where you say, hey, the no growth value of the stock is so much lower than what the stock is trading at, that we now have a picture with Halliburton that it is undervalued. So how much are the numbers on Halliburton suggesting that this stock should be worth or might be worth rather than where it's at now, which, by the way, is about 22, 23 bucks a share?
Yeah. Now, Chuck, I want to make sure, take one step back here. Earnings distortion, positive or negative, does not necessarily correlate with the overall rating. So we do earnings distortion scores. Halliburton has a beat score. That doesn't guarantee it also has an attractive rating. Now, for our special report on the stocks most likely to beat, we made sure that they had a earnings distortion score of beat or strong beat and an attractive or better rating, but it's not necessarily guaranteed. But in the case of Halliburton, we're seeing a price, to your question on Halliburton, we're seeing a price to economic book value of 0.6. So the economic book value is significantly higher, about 40 bucks a share, while the stock price is 22 bucks a share.
You always tell me the catalyst is unknown to you. Your crystal ball has not been repaired. With an earnings miss, what we were talking about last week with Caesars, well, you know at some point if the numbers don't hold up and you have that miss, there's your trigger. Is it harder on the upside to have a catalyst?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. You know, you get a beat, you know, and look, with Halliburton, I think there's, given the amount of uncertainty with respect to energy prices and the energy sector, stocks are going to probably be beholden to some of the macro news in a lot of ways. But there's no reason a strong beat, a really strong beat here, wouldn't cause the stock to spike up. There's clearly a lot of room for the stock to go up. I would also say that I think economic book values are probably a little bit high historically, given, you know, that oil prices have been coming down here recently and are more likely to be flat to lower than they are to be higher. But you're still looking at a business that looks very much undervalued to us.
Why does Wall Street have a tough time factoring out one-time expenses and things like the distorting factors you talked about?
Oh, Chuck, where do I begin? Great question. Wall Street's not really in the business of providing great research, right? That's not how they make money. Wall Street makes money selling stock. So, you know, look, I've been doing this work for a long time. I can tell you, hand on heart, Wall Street doesn't want people to know the real numbers. As soon as everyone has access to the real numbers and there's one version of the truth, well, then they can't use whatever number they need to get that Beyond Meat IPO done, or that Peloton IPO done, or fill in the blank WeWork deal done, right? And so it's just not what they do. You know, and there's plenty of studies that have been published, and I refer to them on a regular basis that point out that companies fudge the numbers and Wall Street looks the other way. They know it and they don't do anything about it. And, you know, it's just funny. I was having a conversation with another friend around, you know, how early in my tenure in Wall Street, I did some work for some investment bankers and they didn't really use any of it. And I came away with the epiphany that, oh, yeah, the bankers can find a ratio to make any deal look good. Why? Because they're selling deals. So that's what they do. And I think we've seen that proven time and time again on Wall Street.
But wouldn't Wall Street benefit from this company getting to a value that is more in keeping with what you think it is? I mean, if this stock realistically, without doing much, has the potential to be a $38 stock or what have you, basically taking the current price and dividing it by 0.6, which is the math from the numbers you gave us earlier that I would be doing, and that puts us right by that target. Doesn't Wall Street benefit from this stock reaching its fair value as opposed to being where it is?
Yeah, you know, great point, Chuck. I mean, you can definitely make the case that there are instances where it make a lot of sense for Wall Street to come out and say, hey, here's the truth. The truth works for this company. But then they risk killing the golden goose because the truth usually doesn't work. And if they can get away with never really revealing the truth, and, you know, look, Halliburton's not a sexy stock for them, makes a lot of money. It's not going to be an investment banking client, right? They don't need to go raise debt and equity to cover losses. It's part of the reason why stocks on the zombie stock list can sometimes go the opposite way, because they'll get plenty of funding because they'll get Wall Street support because Wall Street makes money getting them their funding. So yeah, you know, and every now and then you see it, you see an analyst here and there do it, but as an industry systematically adopting a superior form of research, not going to happen because they all know they don't want to kill the golden goose here. And the golden goose is misinformation that provides cover for selling way more stock than should be sold.
It's interesting how it all gets put together, but in this case, it's particularly interesting that we got both sides of the coin. Again, last week, it was Caesars, CZR, as one of the most likely stocks to miss. And this week, it's the flip side of that. It's missing because it's too low, which means it's likely to have a beat, and a beat at some point would be very good for the stock of Halliburton, H-A-L, the pick in what we have to call the attractive zone this week. David, great stuff. We'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure, Chuck. Good to be with you.
David Trainer is founder and president at New Constructs. Go to newconstructs.com to learn about all their research, find out about their most attractive and most dangerous lists, and more. And we're not doing anything that's too dangerous. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Brad Case. He is chief economist at Middleburg Communities. We'll be talking about housing economics and things like that when Money Life returns in just a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.